At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kentucky Derby was yesterday. I'm not sure if you are, nobody's really a Kentucky Derby fan, but I think it's kind of one of those things, almost like a NASCAR event where like going is the fun part. Going to a Kentucky Derby event, getting all dressed up, you know, ladies putting on a big fancy hat.
Saw Libby Dunn in
really colorful blazers and checkered pants, you know, Bob Hope type pants. Did you do anything yesterday for Kentucky Derby?
No, you kidding me? I mean, I grilled last night, but it wasn't for the Kentucky Derby.
Did you put any money on anything? I know you're an avid gambler.
I'm an avid gambler. I've been taking a break the last couple of weeks because there are times when, you know, hopefully if you're a smart gambler out there, you do have to take breaks. You do have to cleanse the palate. And it's not because like, oh, I wasted $1,000 and I'm in the hole. No, it's just because, you know what? I just need to back off. Maybe go do some other things, you know, play my guitar a little more, try to relax. And frankly, with, you know, the early baseball season and some of the NBA playoff games, just not really able
Kentucky
to pin
Derby
a result.
Just doesn't do it for you at this point with all the stuff going on. I understand.
And the Derby I know nothing about. I think I've been on horse racing twice in my life. No. Like, what sovereignty beat journalism? I know that.
Yeah, that's the only part.
And journalism is the name of a horse, which is hilarious.
Yeah, so. Journalism was supposed to be the favorite, and here comes sovereignty at the end to
journalism's to win, never so. The favorite, okay?
For I mean, it sounds good, right? I think we all know journalism sounds awesome until it's time to go get a real gig, and it's like, oh, yeah, maybe that degree in journalism I got doesn't work the way I want it to in the real world.
Yeah, so. Everybody thought they'd be Walter Cronkite or, you know, something like that. Honestly, like Peter Jennings.
And when I went to school, I
realized they couldn't.
Stuart Scott was my goal. I want to be Stuart Scott. He was the first dude
that I saw
on TV as a black man that made it okay to be a black man. Like, just, you know, with the things he would say and, you know, what had happened. Like, those are things that we say in our community. So
yeah,
Stuart Scott was one of those ones, man.
It was okay to show his personality through, like, and thank God that the executives allowed him to do so because
absolutely.
He opened up opportunities for many young black men and just also kind of helped not just because of his skin color, but because of who he is.
Absolutely.
And because of his talent helped form SportsCenter as we saw it in the 90s and going into the 2000s.
And that was my next thing. He kind of opened it up for guys like Van Pelt to kind of be himself. And, you know, then you start seeing the more and more of these ESPN anchors funny and that are, you know, really quick witted and stuff like that. And so I think that was one thing Stuart Scott was really able to do for a lot of us. And yeah, so journalism is not all bad. But I remember getting out of school and was like, oh, shoot, what now? What do I do now? Like, by this time, nobody reads newspaper anymore.
No.
Nobody really reads magazines like that anymore. You know, when's the last time you saw somebody just reading like a magazine if you weren't at like a dentist office or a doctor's office or something like that.
I saw it like 2 weeks ago, but they were like 76 years old. I'm there you go. Sure, so.
The only people that read magazines and newspaper are 76-year-olds and my friend Chris. Like, he's the only dude I'm known like,
love
bro,
Chris.
Are you reading?
Shout out Chris, man. That's
yeah.
awesome.
Are you reading the newspaper right now? Like, where did you even get a newspaper from? Like, they don't deliver them to your house anymore. Like, how did you get this?
They sell them at the, I think, the pharmacy still.
And the fact he went to the pharmacy with his old ass and picked up a newspaper is kind of what I'm talking about, man. So, I'm not sure what you did last night.
Drank, grilled.
That's what's
I
up.
I cleaned the grill. I had that like yearly week. Like it was just a mess.
That's
like,
always the worst maintenance to do, but it feels good once it's done.
Yeah, I had to do just a workup on the grill. But right before I came in, I had to fill in for Jeff Rust on Friday, but basically spent my Thursday doing that so we could have a nice grill sesh this weekend.
Shout out to my guy, Jeff Rust, man. Oh,
love Rusty.
That's my guy, man.
Absolutely.
Somebody, he's one of the unsung heroes of the fan. We don't talk about Russ enough. Like that's the homie right there.
No,
don't talk about our producers enough. And obviously like guys behind the glass, they make it happen for us. Like if all of a sudden we didn't have a producer, or if you text this morning too and was like, hey guys, I'm just not feeling it. We don't have a show.
It's fair.
There's nothing that any of, I guarantee Isaac, Suk, Dusty knows how to run the board because Dusty used to be a producer. I'm sure with all the new stuff, he would have an issue kind of figuring everything out, but once he got going, he'd be fine.
Well, and then like even old boss man Jeff, yeah, when he was here, he could have stepped in and run the board if he had to.
I've been asking to learn how to do the board forever.
And we should teach you. It's
yeah,
really not
I agree.
Hard.
Like I want to learn how to do it all.
Let's
you know,
go, brother.
At that point, man, I want to be a here. Man of many talents, you well, know, the, here. The, I want to be like the great Joe Fisher.
Honestly, there's not a deep enough bench at a sports radio station. As I've noticed, I've been in this biz 16 years, like, you cannot have a deep enough bench. There's just so many things going on.
And the cold part is, there's not enough jobs.
Nope.
Like, we wish there were more. I get asked all the time, like, how do I get a job at the fan? I'm like, I don't know, wait till Isaac and Suk get called by ESPN or by Fox to do a show? Like,
I mean, inside,
other than that, unless people move forward and move yeah. on, like, openings just don't, we've had the show for 11 years.
Yeah.
Things just don't open up, you know, here at the fan. You know, things, you know, guys are lifers here.
Inside baseball, Will and I think we got hired now this August. It'll be 3 years ago. So yeah. We've been here just over 2.5 years. And we were the last, like, you know, producer on air talent hires. I think Buck came a year before that. And really, it's just been kind of few and far between. And there's like kind of that 2 year period of where there were a couple of positions open, and before that a couple of show hosts kind of shuffled around, but that only happens every like 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
maybe more.
Well, I mean, I'm excited for this new journey for the fan. Our former boss man Stone Cold Austin, you know, decided to
Baton
move,
Rouge.
Yeah, decided to go ahead and ride off into the sunset and maybe move into Baton Rouge, or did he say Kansas?
He's no, that's where Rob's from, Salina, Kansas. He's going to be going off to North Carolina, Virginia. Area.
North Carolina, yeah, that's where he was saying, somewhere around there. So hopefully he finds his place there. And then we got a new, you know, the new man in charge, somebody who I will always love, and that's my guy Cooley. You know, shout out to Cooley, man. He's, if you haven't met him, come to the Fan Golf Classic. You will, because he is an awesome dude and he's going to be an amazing leader. And then our new PD, obviously, man, my guy, the fan man, Dusty Hare, man. The future is bright for us here at the fan and all the listeners at the fan. So hang on for a while, because I think there's some great, great stuff coming up. So shout out to my guy Dusty Hare as well for getting that awesome position. But
keeping it in the family.
And you know, he's a fellow Taurus. You know, Dusty is a fellow Taurus. I think his birthday is,
it was yesterday.
Is it yesterday?
Right?
Yeah. I forgot to text him. You know, so yesterday my wife decided to throw me a surprise party, which I asked her.
Happy birthday, by the way.
It's actually tomorrow, but thank you so much.
That's
man.
Awesome, man.
And so go out yesterday, and I knew there was something coming. Like, she was acting really weird on the phone and like dipping off into corners to talk quietly, and I'm like, that's any
cheating
husband
on me? What the hell,
any
honey?
Husband or wife is going to be like, what are you doing? Who are you talking Ooh. To? Because she wants, when she's on the phone, she wants to make sure I hear the entire conversation.
Gotcha.
Right. She's laughing loud in the other room. Like, she wants to make sure that I know what's going on. Now all of a sudden you're just being real quiet about what you're doing. So it kind of gave me some inkling, but pulled up last night and man, was overwhelmed. Like, I knew it was coming, but still, once I saw the people that were in the room, it was like, holy hell, okay, there's my boss from Portland Public Schools. That's is cool. Here. Hey, you know, my friends and, you know, people like that. Obviously, my mom and my younger sister who's getting ready to graduate later this month. Love you, Nia. Great job, baby. But, you know, it was really overwhelming to see people like, you know, I hate bringing it up, you know, a lot, Jordan. But this has been a really weird year.
What? Why do you hate bringing
because
it
it's
up?
It's out, almost kind of like melodramatic at times,
it's
right?
Not.
Like I don't want it to come off like that. But you know, I have to say this, and I'm gonna say this to all the listeners that kind of rock with us. Man, thank you guys so much.
Hell yeah!
Like the amount of support that I got while I was going through everything I was going through over the summer was insane. I mean, fans people I've never spoken to were hitting me on Twitter or X or, you know, Instagram or anything just to say, man, speedy recovery, thoughts and prayers with you, things like that. People that I've never met before. So, man, I can't tell you. Like, as I move into this next phase of my life, it's at 42 now. Man, I thank you guys so much. I thank my guy, my brother, Jordan Schultz, behind the glass so much, man. My man who's not here, Joe Fisher, you know, thank him. Like, this has been a crazy year, and honestly, I wouldn't have been able to do it without a lot of y'all support, man.
I really
appreciate y'all.
Dude,
real talk.
No, that's, you know, no thanks necessary, brother. I know it was shocking for all of us. I can't, because of just the, you know, amazing celebration we had at your wedding, and then less than a month later basically hearing, oh no, Rashad's got to go in for surgery now. That was a pretty big shift for us. I can't imagine how it is for you, so I won't, you know, claim to know that, like, I can understand that feeling.
It's been different.
I can't. And I love you, brother. And, dude, we're all happy that you're feeling great.
Love
and
you more, man. I'm feeling good, feeling better, man.
The fact
new
that
lease
you
on life. And I encourage people to do this, because I was very kind of always a downer about stuff, right?
Well, and like, exactly. The fact that you can just call it a weird year, and that's the word that you put on it, instead of something more negative, brother, I think that just speaks to how, you know, positive a person you
listen,
are.
Listen, because a lot of people go through what I went through and don't necessarily get a chance to tell the story afterwards. And so I encourage everybody to say yes. You know, start saying more yeses to life, to things. Just get out and do it. Like, if you would typically say, I don't want to go to that concert, I don't want to take that trip,
don't
I don't
do
want
it.
To spend that money, I don't want to go to that, man, just go and do it and have those experiences and, you know, enjoy life. Because when you're laying there and thinking that it might not come again, you're going to wish you did, man. So hopefully everybody gets a chance to really enjoy themselves. And if you need a chance to do something, Cinco de Mayo is still going on.
I know.
Tomorrow is the last day, and it's actually my birthday, actually on Cinco de Mayo. So I will be having plenty of tequila, plenty of cervezas, probably some Modelo. I'm a big Modelo fan.
Love me some Modelo.
And some tacos. I'm become a huge fish and shrimp taco guy.
Ooh,
these days.
Okay.
I've been leaning away from, like, lengua is my favorite taco. So I've been leaning away from that and away from, like, you know, carne asada, and getting more into, like, fish tacos and shrimp tacos, which is awesome. So I'm going to go crazy tomorrow. I don't know about you, but
I mean, my wife and I have been on, like, that crunchy taco with just extra cheese and lettuce kick, you know? Mm. Just, like, seriously, simple beef.
Just regular.
And then you throw, you don't melt the cheese on it. You still leave the cheese cold.
I hate melted cheese on my taco for whatever reason.
I can't remember the name of the place in Los Angeles, but there's, like, this crazy taco shop that kind of serves them like this, and it's kind of viral on TikTok, but my wife and I were hungry. We started making tacos at home just like that, so we've kind of been on that kick.
That's
lately.
What's up, man.
Yeah, man.
Shout out to tacos. I'm going to attack you guys tomorrow. But we got some sports to attack, and there seems to be a whole lot of them, so where do we want to start?
Too much NBA, man. We got to start there.
Let's
or
start
we can
there.
Start with the Dame stuff. Like, we
let's
got,
do that. Let's start okay. more local and immediate. Damian Lillard, we find out he suffered a season-ending injury. We'll talk about what that means for him. We'll talk about what that means for the Bucks as we come back right here. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
We're always on the clock when he's not here. Joe just talks too much. That's just, you know, kind of all that is, man. But one thing we've been talking about here a lot in Portland over the last little bit, and it's been about a week, but I think it's important that we at least talk about it. But Bucks guard, former Blazer guard, Damian Lillard, had surgery on his torn Achilles this past Monday.
Past Friday.
The injury happened Monday.
I think you're thinking
Monday.
Of Cinco de Mayo Monday.
Yeah, the injury happened on the 28th, yes. which is Monday. And so he had surgery just this past Friday. Much like when he got blood clots, like initially I was like, of course, everybody knows, if you listen to the show, I've been pretty critical of Damian Lillard since the trade. But even before then, just as a ball player and as a leader, I've been critical of Dame because I felt like with that talent, probably should have been able to do more. We weren't, and that's kind of what it is. I don't have a problem with it at this point. I was mad about the way he left Portland and not wanting to say the Blazers' name and not even saying that other team and saying stuff like that. That was weird. Then he goes off to the Bucks, and it seems like they're in great position to win a championship. They fire their coach after they're have the best record in the East last year, and then things have kind of gone downhill since that point. They finished with a 43-38 record, I think it was, which was fifth in the East, which doesn't sound great, but considering how good the East was,
at least the top is stacked.
Yeah, consider the top six of the East, considering how good they were this year, that's a pretty good standing. 24 points, 7 rebounds, you know, four or five rebounds. A regular Damian Lillard type of season, especially playing alongside a superstar like Giannis. And then the unthinkable happens, and he tears his Achilles. Literally the worst injury you can have in sports that's not named Tommy John. Like, I don't know if there is a more – as a pitcher, is there a more damning injury that you can get?
No, the ligament, it's called a UCL in the elbow, kind of like the ACL in the knee, essentially. That's what Tommy John surgery, or now the brace surgery, is repairing. So, yeah, this for most athletes, because you obviously are using your legs, an Achilles tear, that's the most devastating injury that you can suffer.
And if we're being honest, we've really seen one player come back and be full strength after an Achilles tear, and that was KD. And really, for him, it was like a ruptured calf, or just a kind of a sore calf that ended up turning into a ruptured Achilles. But KD is really the only guy that we've seen come back and be KD again, right? I'm trying to go through I'm thinking of the guys that ruptured their Achilles. Kobe, that was when things kind of fell apart for him. The Achilles happened and the shoulder happened, and then things just kind of start, falling apart for Kobe.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, a recent example.
Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron.
I know he's getting older, but
and
like,
he had a good. And he, I think, throwing the ball, Aaron Rodgers had a good season.
But he can't move.
Right?
His mobility is gone.
But where he was great is his ability to be able to move around and steal some yards when you're not paying attention. Now that's over. Dame's greatest asset is his shooting, and more specifically, that sidestep shot that he has. Being able to plant with that foot going left or going right. That's the part that worries me. I don't want to say it, but there's a good chance that we never see Damian Lillard as Damian Lillard again. And it's unfortunate, and I hate to say that because I want to be as positive as possible. And if it was an MCL, an ACL, or one of the CLs, I would feel much better about him being able to rehab, getting back in 6 to 9 months and being back on the floor, at least for practice or something like that, basketball related activities. But an Achilles, as far as that explosiveness and that ability to move, lateral movement left to right and stuff like that, that's the part that scares me for a player that's already turning 36 this year.
No, he's 34 going on 35. He would have been 36 he will be 36 when most likely, at least the timetable is looking likely for his return after the 2025-26 season. His birthday is July 15th, so it's a summer birthday basically between each season, so he'll be 35 this summer, out for the rest of the year, most likely. We haven't officially heard anything, and obviously Dame just had surgery on Friday, so you know, a recovery, like he came back really quickly from that deep vein thrombosis, the blood clot, like faster than a lot of players come
back.
Seriously,
I mean, people sit out most of a year, you know, once they get blood clots. He came back in weeks.
No, and it sounds like the circumstances surrounding that blood clot maybe were a little different than the one that put Victor Wembanyama down, the one that put Chris Bosh down all those years ago. So Dame's a fighter, and there were so many years in Portland where they sat him at the end of the year. You know, he had a couple of nagging injuries, but he was willing to play through. And this, man, he's one of those guys that in his mid-30s, I truly believed could continue to play at an elite level. Not necessarily as elite
as LeBron
James. He's
shown at his mid-30s that he can do it.
But yeah, look at 34 years old. He's had 25 points per game the last two seasons in a new place. Yeah, you know, I get it. It's not the 30 that he was scoring at the end in Portland.
And in a new role. He's essentially CJ now.
Exactly. It's a lot different than it was in Portland. He's not necessarily setting things up, and they're just expecting different things from him in Milwaukee, and I'm not still sure that it was even a good trade for Milwaukee to get him and move on from Jrue Holiday in the first place. But now we're here, and unfortunately, Damian Lillard is, I mean, you know he's going to try to come back, but is probably not going to be the same Damian Lillard that we've seen.
No,
it's hard to say. I get it. Sean Livingston had a great comeback from that massive leg injury, had like, you know, every single ligament explode. He broke his leg in a bunch of places. There's been pretty gruesome injuries in the NBA that guys have come back from, but man, Father Time is beaten by no man. And yeah,
that's my only thing.
Seriously, outside of LeBron, I really thought, like, and by the way, point guard is not small forward, power forward of the NBA. Point guards do not age the same way as LeBron's position do. Yeah, so Steph Curry, Chris Paul, those are the exceptions to the rule. Damian Lillard, he's just in a position that does not age well. And you were kind of wondering, when's the fall off going to come? And it breaks my heart, dude. Like, this
sucks.
Guy has been the beacon of sports in Portland, got my wife into sports, and it just, I think it's sad for a lot of Blazers fans.
No, absolutely. It was not an easy pill to swallow, listening that Damian Lillard was out for the season and potentially out for the next, for the foreseeable future. Like, we don't know what this injury is going to look like as far as him rehabbing, getting back. Like you said, Dame is a fighter, and he's going to do everything he can.
Recovery, though.
He's going to do everything he can to get back. Would you say how long?
18 months-ish. I mean, so we're
talking.
So
you're coming back when you're 36?
Yeah.
Like,
that's full calendar year and a half.
You know, what do you do at that point? Like, I pulled up a list of players that have suffered an Achilles injury. And on this list, I'm only looking at maybe one name that were like, okay, they came back. And that's Kevin Durant.
Yep.
Kobe wasn't really the same. David Beckham wasn't really the same after the Achilles injury. Obviously, Terrell Suggs, you know, returned to play, but wasn't the T-sizzle that we were used to. Cam Akers, he came back. He's you know, he's good, right? So I think he's probably, you know, one of the exceptions. But Deshaun Watson has never been Deshaun Watson that we saw prior to him coming to Cleveland since he was in Texas. Like, he's never been that guy ever again. Klay Thompson has these small flashes of old Klay Thompson. He did it in the play-in, one of the play-in games. He was great there. But for the most part, that's not sustainable. He couldn't do it every year. John Wall, no. Elton Brand, no. Kirk Cousins, still trying to figure that out. So, no. Wes Matthews, we know how that went. No. It doesn't look great. The numbers aren't in Dame's favor as far as a speedy recovery and getting back to the floor and being the guy that he once was, which he's a shooter. So, of course, he can just do some spot-up shooting, but that's not where Dame is great at. Much like Anfernee Simons, I don't think he's a great spot-up shooter. Where Ant scores best is when he's on the move. moving, shaking, dribbling. He's that same side step right and everything, falling left. That's where Ant is great shooting. But if he just gets the ball and squares up or just wide open, I don't feel like he's just an awesome spot-up shooter like that. He's great when he's in rhythm and moving. That's kind of how I feel about Dame, you know. And so I don't really know how well he would adjust to just being a guy that stands in the corner and waits for a three-point shot. Like, that's where Klay Thompson is essentially now. I'm standing in the corner and wait for somebody to pass me the ball and knock this corner three down. That's might be, if Dame's going to continue to play, that might be where his career is heading.
Well, I mean, he's going to continue to play. I think we all know that he's at least going to try. We probably don't even have to ask him. As far as like what the Bucks are paying him, this is the final guaranteed year of his contract. I think right around $60 million, but it's a player option in the next season. So 26-27, this is the 25-26 season that'll be after this NBA Finals. This will be the season he's out. This is the final guaranteed year of his contract. That player option would cover the 26-27 season, which, you know, at this point, any player that gets injured like that, not going to give up the guaranteed money. No. And it'll be interesting to see what Milwaukee from that point wants to do going forward. We've already seen reports from The Athletic about possible trades that Giannis could be involved in. Essentially, the Milwaukee Bucks are kind of pushed into a corner here. The Blazers have a lot, or if not all, of their assets for like the rest of the decade, right, draft-wise. Portland kind of robbed Milwaukee, at least of the future in a couple of years, with that Dame trade.
It's crazy how fast that narrative changed.
I know.
It went from, we gave up everything, we gave up Damian Lillard and didn't get anything back. Like, all we got is some draft picks and blah, 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 and hopefully get theirs. But, man, they got Dame. Now, it's like, well, Dame is hurt. Milwaukee isn't winning. Giannis is probably gone, which we'll talk about soon. And Portland has all of their draft rights as we get ready to move forward into the 27-28 seasons and stuff like that. So you got opportunities to continue to build on a young roster, on top of the fact that you're going to draft Cooper Flagg this summer, right? You have to speak it into existence, and that's what we're going to do, man.
We're going
to be positive about it together and speak it into existence. You know, that's what's going to happen. Cooper Flagg is going to come to Portland, and he's going to be the guy. And you're going to win a championship in 2 years. So that's how that part's going to – that's how that's going to work. But it was a sad week in Portland. It was an even sadder week if you're Milwaukee, considering that you watched your superstar almost beat up a 65-year-old man the other day.
Yeah, Tyrese Halliburton's dad not coming to Pacer games for the foreseeable future.
Tyrese Halliburton's dad is clearly banned from any Pacers games, or be it home or away. So he won't be allowed, even in the skyboxes where he should have had his old ass in the first place. Off the court, like, I don't know what he was thinking. That was insane. And shout out to Tyrese Halliburton for obviously backing his dad, but also saying he was wrong. He knows he was wrong, and that was messed up, and he kind of deserves what he's getting. Because Giannis could have ripped that man's head off. The way he was holding his head looked like he was about to Mortal Kombat that joint right off of his shoulders.
I mean, he's gone through a hell of a week, man. It's pretty frustrating when you... It's a long period of time from winning their last championship.
What a crappy week for Giannis.
Well, it's just... Look at the mountain that he's ridden, man. You don't think that, like, anything else can happen bad after you win this title. Like, all the other things that were happening with our team before, they're never going to happen again. We're all good. And then all of a sudden, oh, nope, your star point guard traded.
Bang.
Okay, now you got to work into a new system. You got to see if Dame can get comfortable. Oh, no, he's having trouble running the pick and roll with Brooke Lopez, which means, well, Giannis necessarily isn't just being able to get kicked to for shots. It just screwed up their entire offense, the whole thing with Adrian Griffin. Like,
it's been a mess.
It's been a mess in Milwaukee now for the last 2 years.
And it's been a mess.
This Dame injury, unfortunately, kind of stomps the foot, you know, as far as like the end of
this mess.
It's
the cherry on top.
Yeah, because you now... Dame was like their only tradable asset. We're talking about Milwaukee not having any draft picks later on here in this decade. There were some whispers that after this season, if it didn't work out, maybe like they thought it would with Giannis and Dame, that they were going to move on from Damian Lillard, not necessarily Giannis now, because Dame is a trade piece still, not necessarily the biggest one, but he'll get you something. And he was the only asset that you had to do something with. And now
that's over.
So hands are tied.
Back to square one, which brings us to our next point. What does Giannis do? This summer, he's already unfollowed the Bucks on Instagram, which is usually the kiss of death.
WWGD, what would Giannis do?
Yeah, that's, you know, we're at that point now to where that's how you know that things aren't going well for a player in a franchise, once that player stops following that franchise on social. We'll talk about that next, but first, Jordan has sports.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
He's going to go down as one of the greatest players of all time. But also, he's going to go down as one of the most dominant players that we've seen. He's, as from a physical standpoint, he's the most dominant player we've seen since Shaquille O'Neal. I think Dwight Howard could go in that thing, because I think it's easy to forget now how good Dwight Howard was in his prime for the first 9 years of his career. Dwight Howard was, as a big man, better than everybody. Right now, Giannis Antetokounmpo, with his size, his speed, his athleticism, only other person we can equate that to is Shaquille O'Neal. And it looks like Giannis is on the market, because he unfollowed the Bucks after their game six loss.
Quickly, just can we stop living on the Instagram?
That's what people do.
I hate that people even watch this. And he unfollowed him on Instagram. You guys, this is like high school boyfriend and girlfriend bullshit.
For sure. Stop. That's usually at this point what we've figured out. That's the part of the trend.
You're right. I'm not mad at you, Rashad.
No. I get it. That's the first domino to fall every single time.
Right.
The minute we know something's wrong with a franchise, when Dame unfollowed the Blazers, it was like, uh-oh.
Klay unfollowed the Warriors?
Uh-oh.
We knew.
Uh-oh. That's bad. That's the first sign of this relationship is over.
It's so sad.
You know what I mean? And I think that's kind of what it is. And you're absolutely right. It's high school boyfriend, girlfriend type of stuff. Like, I don't follow them on social anymore.
Oh, all their pictures need to be taken off of my Instagram
and
now.
So that's kind of what it is. You know, erasing any sign of the former team or the team that you play for now to make sure they know that I'm not messing with y'all no more. That's over. So that's a blatant way of saying, I'm cool on you without actually coming out and saying I'm cool on you. And that's essentially what Giannis has done at this point. So we've heard all the trade rumors. We've heard Giannis to the Knicks. We've heard Giannis to the Rockets. You know, we've even heard some stuff about him potentially going to OKC. Like, there's a lot of teams in the league that would use the services of Giannis Antetokounmpo. You're talking damn near 7 feet, 245 pounds, 250 pounds of just pure muscle. He's still uber athletic. Giannis is what, 29?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you know, so
I know he's not 30 yet.
Yeah, so he's still got some time before he's really older. He does get beat up a lot, so we know that injury part is going to come
from him. No, he turned 30 December 6th.
Turned 30, okay, so he's still early 30s well. At this point. So he's still got a few more years in his prime before, maybe the wheels start to fall off a little bit. So he's still got 3 great years, maybe 4 great years of prime Giannis Antetokounmpo. Whoever lands him is instantly a contender. And we've also heard teams like the Warriors, the Death Star, and the Lakers. So could you imagine Giannis, LeBron, and Luka playing on the same team?
I mean, I could. And at this point, if you're saying, like, where seems more likely that he would end up, I would say whichever team has the most championship-ready pedigree, you know, that can obviously give pieces up and still have a roster around him worth, you know, competing in, you know, whichever league he's in. So I don't think that he's going to stay in Milwaukee. Just all the talk that we're hearing, like, since Dame's injury, just it's like an immediate, like you said, an about face, just how quickly everything changed, Rashad, from, you know, Milwaukee kind of having this future, maybe going for a couple of more, maybe after seeing that it didn't work, winding down with Dame and Giannis. Well, now Giannis essentially, along with Dame, not really able to be traded and then having to go forward and try to question the rest of his career. Giannis also having to question the rest of his career. And L.A. looks bright, I guess. But I don't know, man. Giannis and Dame were buddies, you know, so that was something that kind of came out of nowhere. Like, people talked about it, but when Dame wanted to go to Miami, it wasn't really...
Nobody saw the Bucks
exactly
coming.
Nobody
None of us
really
saw that coming.
Threw that out as an option. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's, like, a friendship. And once again, like, you know, insider like Danny Marang probably has a better idea of what relationships are prevalent in this possible trade scenario here. And maybe there's somebody out there, just like in the Dame Milwaukee trade, that'll kind of sneak in at the last second that we don't really know about. Maybe, well, Miami, you know, who knows?
Well, one of those teams that people are talking about, as I've read through some articles, is the Houston Rockets.
Mm.
That seems to be a huge team. And one of the teams that's expected to be in a 3-team trade is the Portland Trailblazers.
Well, they would have to be.
They would have to be.
But so, just for Milwaukee's sake.
So check this out. The Bucks would receive Amen Thompson, Jalen Green, Cam Whitmore, because it's Giannis Antetokounmpo, so you're going to give up whatever it takes to do that.
A lot of salaries. Whenever star players get traded, it's probably $100-plus million of
for
salary
sure.
in a
so
single
they
got to
figure it out. They
got to
put
match,
a bunch
yeah.
of people together. So you got the Bucks will receive Amen Thompson, Jalen Green, Cam Whitmore, and Donovan Clingan. 2027 first-round pick from Phoenix. 2025 first round pick from Phoenix, 2029 first round pick from Phoenix, and let's see.
No, that would be either the most favorable of Milwaukee,
most favorable
or
of Milwaukee,
Portland, or
Portland
Washington.
Washington. Yes,
God,
you're
this
right.
This is weird.
Or the 2028 and 2030 Milwaukee swaps, right? Extinguished.
So basically, right? that swap that Portland had in that trade with Dame would now go back to Milwaukee. We wouldn't get those picks
get
that
those
at this
picks.
Point look pretty good.
But the Rockets would receive Giannis and Jeremy Grant, right? That I don't know if you, after losing Jalen Green and Amen Thompson, if a Giannis and Jeremy Grant is going to be enough to get you there, but there's that. But the Blazers would receive Alperen Şengün and Jock Landale. I'll take Şengün. 1,000 times I will take Şengün.
Over
he's one of those guys.
Possible swaps in 28 and 2030 at this point. Milwaukee looks like ass, buddy.
Yeah.
And you're
sure.
saying that you would rather give up those possible top 5 picks. And I think in this, there's like top number 1 overall pick protection. So if that does happen, then the picks don't go to the team that would trade for them. But you're basically trading 2 picks. 3 picks and a potential all-star center. At least that's what people think in Donovan Clingan for an already all-star center in Alperen Şengün.
Yeah, and I wouldn't see the Rockets doing this because as much as I love Giannis, you're fleecing your entire young roster, which is the second seed in the West this year, for aging Giannis Antetokounmpo and up and down Jerami Grant. I mean, if I'm the Rockets, I'm not giving up Amen Thompson, Jalen Green. I'm not doing that. Although Jalen Green has been ass in these playoffs so far. That said, I wouldn't punt on that young man just yet. I still think he's an amazing young player. But the idea of being able to get a Şengün, because again, if you're the Blazers, that's how you move forward, is through trades and through the draft. So if you can pull a Şengün all of a sudden, that instantly makes you so much better. And you pair Şengün with Denny Avia. Ooh. Ugh.
But
that's
like
crazy.
Jerami Grant has legitimate in-game production for Portland this year. He's, you know, not necessarily the most consistent player, but he does go off for 20 or 30 for you at times, and you're missing that if you leave. Seriously.
I think Jerami Grant's our most talented player.
I mean,
as far as up and down, as far as we can do, he's 6'9". He's got long arms. He can defend. He can shoot. He can get to the Baja and finish whenever he would. Like, Jerami Grant, as a player, is probably our best overall player. He just can't do it every night.
You're leaving holes in your roster that you already have holes in if you trade Jerami Grant. And once again, yeah, three picks plus Jerami Grant plus Donovan Clingan. And folks also are most likely asking for DeAndre Ayton to be traded, at least if you're a Portland fan. He's one of the expiring contracts this year, so who do you get back for him? What do you get back for him? There's a lot of different moves here that Portland still has to make, and I'm not sure that this is a great option for them. It just doesn't look like Portland gets much. And I asked this on Friday to Danny. I mean, I guess it's just kind of the way that the NBA works because we're the redheaded stepchild up here in Portland. But including the Blazers in deals like this just seems like an insult to me. National writers just saying, oh, Portland.
Well, always the bridesmaid. That's the way it's going
to
be. You
Portland
know?
Would be willing to take the pick swaps back. Like, just on that alone, Rashad, this makes that a terrible deal. Because at this point now, as you said, in the last week, everything has changed. So now Dame is out. Bucks can't trade any assets. 3 years from now, they look kind of handcuffed. Don't really think that they're going to be able to grow much. And you've got a shot at another top 15 pick if you're Portland in 28 and 2030. You can't give two of those up. And Jerami Grant, who is still a tradable asset, regardless of if they screwed up and didn't get him for a first round pick last year, he is still valuable. He is still worth something.
100%.
And Donovan Clingan, who I know teams called about this year. Donovan Clingan is a very gettable
or
wanted
asset. You don't let him go.
No, I know that you'd probably get more for him just in a singular deal outside of this. All this together just seems, and then Jacques Landale, all this together just seems like a crappy deal for the Blazers. And as you said, they're just the bridesmaid, never the bride.
The only reason I would say this isn't a super crappy deal is because in return, you do get the best big in the West. Like, in return, like, I mean, or that's not named Anthony Davis. Like, if you do get Alperen Şengün, you do get the second best big in the Western Conference. Like, that's a pretty, like, you look at what he was able to do. Like, he's been carrying this Houston team.
I like Şengün. Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
He can carry your team. He's showing it in the playoffs. He can carry your team to wins. Like, the only reason they're really winning games is because he is a guaranteed bucket out there, because their second best player in Jalen Green hasn't been their second best player in this series. So yeah, a lot to consider if you're the Bucks, man. A lot to consider if you're Portland, man. Again, let's not just be the side chick in this thing. Let's try to be the main chick at some point, man. So yeah, there's a whole lot going. Let's talk about that first round. There's a game seven tonight, right?
There's one game seven. The East semis are starting today as well.
So we're talking about the Rockets. Let's talk about their game. They play against the Golden State Warriors tonight. They try to end an era. And if they can do this, they will officially start the new era of the NBA. We'll talk about that next, right here, 1080 The Fan. I'm watching every single TNT game because, again, watching Charles Barkley, watching Shaq, watching Kenny and Ernie, like, there's something special about that show. And so just to kind of watch the last little bit of them on TNT has been really fun so far. So that game starts at 3 o'clock. But then tomorrow, Nuggets, Thunder. Nuggets were able to wrap up their series, a really hard-fought series up until yesterday. Whew. Against the Clippers.
That
was the best series of any series that we've had so far outside of last night's game.
Yeah.
I think the Rockets and Warriors have an opportunity to change that today. But today, Shane Goon and Jalen Green have an opportunity, along with Ime Udoka, have an opportunity to change the face of the NBA officially. Right now, we're seeing kind of this changing of the guard thing that's happening, you know, around the league. And so far, we've seen Anthony Edwards take out LeBron. We've seen Tyrese Halliburton take out Giannis. And we have an opportunity to see this Houston Rockets team, this young Rockets team, take out Steph Curry. Yesterday, we saw Jokic and his championship Nugget squad take out James Harden and really what I think was his last opportunity in winning a championship.
Yeah.
I think that was it. We are seeing a changing of the guard. The old is out. The new is in. Today, if the Rockets beat the Warriors, that will mean we will have a second round without LeBron, without Steph, without Giannis, without the faces of the NBA. If you are looking for who the new face of the NBA is, look no further than Boston. Look no further than OKC. Look no further than Cleveland. You've got three stars on each of those teams that are capable of being the people that lead you forward. I just think Jokic don't like talking. He's like Tim Duncan. I don't really care about all the stuff outside of basketball. I just play basketball and go home to my horses. Nothing else is important to me. That guy's probably not the best person to have as the face of your league because he doesn't like that. Jason Tatum, almost kind of the same. I don't really like doing a lot of the talking and everything like that. But
now there's Anthony Edwards for the T-Wolves, you know, also moving on in the playoffs.
Yeah, you got all these guys, these young athletic guys that are really ready to take over. And I think we're seeing it, like Steph is older, right? He's not really moving the same or even really making those big three-point shots the same clip that we're used to seeing from Steph. Like, he'll go off.
He had 29 points last night. You're right. It's not game to game, but he's still there.
No, he'll still go off and go crazy and, you know, have 9 3-pointers in the game. But then after that, he'll kind of slow down a little bit. So it's not as consistent in the playoffs as we're used to seeing from Steph, to where when the Warriors start that third quarter and you know that's the one that just is going to blow you out of the water. But I think it's kind of it's time that we give the veterans their flowers. I've been a big James Harden honk for a long time. And last night was honestly typical James Harden. Game sevens are not kind to him. He's historically played awful in game seven. I don't think he played terrible last night, but he wasn't great. And then by the time he did get good, it just started too late. Had a chance.
When he scores 7 points in a game seven and you've actually been showing up, like, give him credit after game six. Like, I appreciated his commitment to the winning, that he really knew where he was. And he's like, you know what? This is my opportunity. I got to go watch film, make sure that I can get better anywhere I can. There are times where James Harden just doesn't seem like he cares in post-game press conferences. I get it. This is the playoffs, and, you know, it's just way more entertaining basketball in general, and the players all, they don't play during the regular season. They all want to play now, but, like, just hearing that, you kind of thought that he was going to have a better Game 7 than he did.
Absolutely. So. I was really disappointed because, again, I've been a big fan of James Harden as far as what he can do offensively, how he get things done, but he shot 8 times. That's not superstar worthy. Like, you need to shoot more than everybody on the starting roster shot more than him. So I need my star player to shoot more than 8 times. You know, he did have 13 assists, which I think is his highest number of assists that he's had so far, and only 2 turnovers in there. But that's 7 points hurt them. In game seven, I need James Harden to be as aggressive as possible to get there. And for me, a championship is the only thing missing from his resume. You think about James Harden's incredible career and how many times he's led the league in scoring, and then he's led the league in assists. How many players have led the league in both scoring and assist? Westbrook, you know, it's not the list isn't super, super long of dudes that have done that, and Harden happens to be, you know, one of those guys that's been able to do it. He's been an MVP. He's been to the finals. He's like 7 times all NBA first team. Like, he's got every single award that you need. The only one missing is the Larry O'Brien Trophy, and he doesn't have one of those. And honestly, I think last night might have been his last opportunity to do that.
It was.
And so look at what the Denver has done to another great superstar, James Harden. They're probably going to blow this Clippers thing up. This experiment hasn't worked. It didn't work with Paul George. Then you bring in Norman Powell, and it's kind of worked a little better, but you still don't get out of the first round. That's so much money to pay for these three guys, and you can't get out of the first round in that beautiful-ass arena. It might be time to blow it up and start over.
They just don't have a supporting cast. Well, frankly, neither team has a supporting cast, especially Denver. Kind of shocking that they got the win in general, because outside of Russell Westbrook, you don't have a bench. Like, Denver has been so tired, forced to essentially interim coach, new son Adelman taking over for Michael Malone, basically has to play his starters 48 minutes. So in a game seven like this, usually teams like that are tired. They kind of break down. But you look at the Clippers roster, they don't have a big supporting cast either. You look, it's five former Blazers on that roster, yeah, with Drew Eubanks, Batum, Derek Jones Jr., Norman Powell, and then Patty Mills. And then they have Ben Simmons at the bottom of the bench too. Like,
who wasn't playing.
No.
Ben Simmons' defense was so important through the first few games.
And then all of a sudden,
he just wasn't playing anymore.
But I mean, it's the playoffs. I don't know how much you want to trade literal zero value in the offensive end for defensive possessions, and that's what you're doing, putting Ben Simmons on the floor. But hell, when you have a game seven with James Harden only shooting eight times, that's not the only problem as far as exchanging offense for defense. You had players shooting terribly. I mean, only 30% from three.
Yeah.
They took 27, which you wonder why Harden didn't take like 10 alone. Like, there were many things about the Clippers game yesterday that just like, dude, did they all just fall asleep? Was Ty Lue, who's usually able to get guys going, great
checked
playoff
out
coach historically, did they just kind of quit on him? I don't know.
Yeah, it was really weird to see. And I think one of the biggest problems that they had was number 32, Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon has been the best player in this series every single night. He's getting boards. He's getting putbacks. He had that amazing dunk to finish game four, I think it was.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Yeah, to finish game four. He's just everywhere. He averaged 18.9 points in that series. He averages about 14 and a half throughout the year, so he was able to pack on some more points. He was amazing. He was everywhere. He was physical. He gave everybody a tough time on defense. Aaron Gordon was really the player of this series. And really propelled, in my opinion, propelled Denver to the next round. So,
him and Michael Porter Jr., I feel like, are some of the unsung heroes of the NBA.
For
they're
him
talked
playing
about,
hurt,
but not a lot.
Yeah, and especially for Michael Porter Jr. playing hurt, you know, throughout the playoffs. And even last night had 15, you know, a couple games before that, 14 and 17. And that's with a shoulder that's just not going to get worse, but it still hurts a whole lot when he's out there playing. And so the guts that young man played with was incredible. So you got to tip your hat to Denver, and you got to ask a lot of questions to the Clippers organization, to Ty Lue, to James Harden. I think you got a lot of people that have a lot of explaining to do about how they got themselves in this position. And again, I think this might have been the last time that you saw this Clippers team together. I think they have to do something with it. It's not working, and it's a lot of money for a first-round exit.
But James Harden to the Blazers, is that what you're saying?
I mean, I'm okay with it, but, you know, it's probably not going to happen. That would be too good for us, you know? So, and people act like they'd be mad about it, but
no, I'd be all right with
yeah,
it.
People
if Draymond Green and James Harden showed up in a Blazers uniform
man,
tomorrow,
we'd love it.
I bought a Carmelo Anthony Blazers jersey. Come on. I'm willing to be persuaded. Okay?
Absolutely. Like, we love it. There are certain guys that if they come here, just considering the way they play, man, instantly. And I think, honestly, Harden is good enough to get your team to the playoffs. He's never not made the playoffs.
It's true.
Like, on his own, he's good enough to get you there. I think that says a whole lot about the type of player he is. Unfortunately, like, game sevens are his kryptonite. And I remember he had one, it was years ago, and I think they were playing against the Clippers, and he had like 13 turnovers, and the last turnover he had, like in the fourth quarter, just dribbled off his leg and out of bounds. It's like, oh my God, this dude is probably the worst game seven athlete in history. We'll look that up. Well, when we come back from the break, we'll look that up and see who was the worst game seven athlete in history. And we'll talk about some of the worst game sevens that we can remember. And, hour two's coming up. Let's shift just a little bit. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about the playoffs, but also want to get some NFL in there because the Cleveland Browns has become a big conversation piece for a lot of people, considering that for locally, we know the quarterback there, or at least one of the nine quarterbacks they have there. And then we also know that they have a very polarizing quarterback who happens to be an NFL great son playing there as well. And so players are kind of split on the Browns about who they want to be their trigger man as we move forward. We'll tell you what we think when we come back right here. Second hour coming up next, 1080 The Fan.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
However, thought it was important to kind of bring it back locally, right? So Dillon Gabriel was the third round choice to the Cleveland Browns. So they expect him to be a quarterback, which is crazy because I'll be real. I didn't see Dillon Gabriel even getting drafted, you know, anywhere near the top three rounds.
No, probably like five or six.
Yeah,
people were projecting him out to be.
I never saw Dillon Gabriel being that high on anybody's draft board. And shout out to him, though. I mean, not to say you don't deserve it. If you were an Oregon fan, you saw what Dillon Gabriel was able to do for you. Outside of the playoff game against Ohio State, he was brilliant for most of this year, for all of this year. So definitely deserved the opportunity to at least try for an NFL team. But I'll be honest, I'd be lying if I said, yeah, I knew Dillon Gabriel would get drafted. I had no idea. I didn't think he would be the prototype NFL guy, which is weird because they're talking a lot about, you know, Shador size. And, you know, Dillon Gabriel's smaller than him, right?
Oh, like, yeah, way
so smaller. Like, so I don't want to hear it's a size thing anymore. That's clearly not what it is for Shador. A lot of it has to do with
Gabriel's
being
accurate,
young.
Though. A lot more accurate than Shador.
I think so.
I mean, he's Jackson one of the most Dart accurate quarterbacks of
Jackson Dart was not, you know, but
no, but he can run Jackson Dart. That's a little different. Shador yeah. Sanders is an RPO quarterback. Brian Daboll wants to run an RPO system in New York. Jackson Dart fits well with that. He was also being coveted for that reason.
That's
by
fair.
Sean
he's faster
McVay.
And he's faster than Shador. So
exactly.
I understand that part. If that's what Brian Daboll wants to do, hopefully it works, you know, but right now there's a bit of a quarterback controversy. No, I don't want to call it a controversy because you've got like five of them if you're in Cleveland right now. So, really, I don't think they're not going to keep five quarterbacks. They're going to move forward with three, and I'm trying to figure out which two we think are going to be cut. I'm going to go ahead and say probably one of them is Flacco.
No, I think he's their week one starter. Frankly, they wouldn't have re-signed him.
You think so?
He was their latest signing before the draft. This is after the Deshaun Watson situation kind of contract-wise got worked out. Essentially, you remember what, maybe a month or two ago, they gave Deshaun Watson kind of an upfront payment mm-hmm. to get some cap space and to kind of get rid of that. That is all guaranteed money. Deshaun Watson's seeing it, but they're trying to give themselves some flexibility to go forward, and that means they're most likely going forward without Deshaun Watson on their roster. So I would believe he's probably one of the five. You're looking at Joe Flacco, Dillon Gabriel, Shador Sanders, Kenny Pickett, and Deshaun Watson. Pickett, of course, was traded for in the offseason. He's been a backup. You know, Pittsburgh gave him an opportunity to start. He wasn't great coming out of college. He was highly touted and now kind of just slipped down to backup status. So I feel like it's between Pickett, Gabriel, and Shador to get those final two spots behind Joe Flacco. I really do think, and from the reports I've seen, is that Joe Flacco, because he's the veteran presence, is going to be leading things in week one.
So. Yeah, it's, but I mean, I think we can, it's going to be Shador and it's going to be Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, like, you think Pickett will be the odd man out?
Yeah, I think Pickett is probably the odd man out in this instance. Shador's, we've seen what he can do in college, especially with an NFL receiver. Like, that's the one thing we forget. He had the number two person in the draft, the Heisman winner, helped him win the Heisman. So I think Shador is a capable quarterback. We've seen him make some incredible plays. We've also seen Dylan Gabriel make some incredible plays. I think the question is going to be who's going to grasp the playbook the fastest and who's going to make the least amount of mistakes. I think that's going to be, as we move into training camp and as we move into, you know, all the OTAs and whatnot, who is going to show up the most? Shador has the most to prove at this point. Obviously, you're a fifth round pick that probably should have been a second or third round pick. Your quote unquote maturity has kept him out of that top two rounds, top three rounds. I was for sure he was going to be drafted in the third round by Cleveland because they had those two picks, or, you know, kind of back to back. So
I mean, a lot of quarterbacks taken ahead of Shador.
There were a lot of quarterbacks, and some of them I don't know if it's warranted. I don't think Dylan Gabriel was better than Shador.
I agree with you. Yeah, I don't think
Dylan Gabriel is better than Shador. I think
Talent wise, probably not.
No. But Dylan Gabriel is mature. I think Shador is also, you know, he's not a young kid, you know, so he's what, 23, 24?
And, I mean, the thing about Gabriel, too, is he's a lefty. And if you hear from coaches in the NFL, more often than not, they don't want to have to design an offense for a left-handed quarterback.
All of a sudden, got to get a great right tackle.
You're playing everything opposite. And usually, I mean, it's like having a left-handed catcher. Usually, you run everything to the other side, and having to roll out to the left changes everything.
And sometimes sometimes it can be a good thing, because much like guarding a lefty in basketball, you're not expecting a lot of stuff they do. Like, Mike Vick is probably the best lefty, you know, of all time. You know, the things he could do is pretty impressive, you know, out there. So maybe, you know, Dylan Gabriel can have something similar. He's obviously not as fast as, you know, Mike Vick was, so that rollout could be crazy, could be dangerous. But I don't know, man. I'm pulling for Shador. Yeah. I'm also pulling for Dylan Gabriel. Like, I want them both to succeed. Obviously, there can only be one starting quarterback. What's the old adage? If you have two, you don't got one.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it is. And right now you have three. Joe Flacco is good enough to win you three or four games. You know, and if he goes out there and starts the season on a high note, especially considering how they've kind of cleaned up this defense a little bit, if you're Cleveland, maybe they don't go to either one of the rookies. Maybe they stay with Flacco for as long as possible and ride the hot hand. Yeah.
There's the possibility that, Flacco could just have kind of a magical run at the end of his career. He's shown that he's sustainable. Hell, Cleveland Brown has been to the playoffs recently. It's kind of weird to say that, right? But, like, he's the kind of quarterback that can get them there. And he doesn't have a strong arm. He's a noodle now.
Yeah,
but he can lead the offense. He's that check down guy that knows where everybody in the huddle needs to be.
Right.
And I think for the Cleveland Browns, for Stefanski, that's extremely important. And it's also important for a guy like Shador Sanders coming into this situation, who at this point, I mean, we don't need to talk about why he dropped. Like, I think
that's over at this point.
But it was a value proposition for the Browns that it was like, oh my God, this projected first round pick is sitting in our lap. We've already taken a quarterback. Maybe it was the owner that called the Browns, because, I mean, there are reports, and you did see the draft room with the front office executives when the Browns drafted Shador Sanders. It looked like a bunch of guys being held hostage, right? They didn't look too happy about it. So whether it was the owner meddling or not, it It's a value proposition way far down in the draft, and at this point, it's the smartest move for the Browns to see where Joe Flacco takes you, and then the next best talent that you have available on your roster, in my opinion, is Shedeur Sanders. See how Flacco helps you. See if, you know, you can insert him week 7, 8, or 9 if the season's not necessarily going how you want it to with Flacco. I think that that's the scenario that Cleveland's looking at here with Shedeur Sanders.
And I think, I know we have to break, but I think it's important to remember, Joe Flacco was no scrub.
Nope.
At Joe Flacco's best, he was like 4,000 yards a year, you know, type
thing.
He
had a cannon.
He had a great arm. He beat some amazing teams en route to a championship, you know, and he's been in some amazing playoff battles with that. He's the best Ravens quarterback there's ever been.
Yep.
They're like, I mean, seriously, you got the Trent Dilfers and the other guys of like, he's the best Ravens quarterback there has ever been. Like, and at in his prime, I'm talking about a time with Tom Brady and with Peyton Manning, he was underneath, and Drew Brees, like, he was a top 5, top 6 guy, you know, at a point. And so,
just quiet. He never really made waves.
No, he didn't. And he had a defense that was able to carry him, yes, you know, a lot of times. And so Joe Flacco can teach these rookies a lot about how to be winners and a lot about how to be professionals. And I think that's the main thing. This is not college. You know, there's no NIL deal coming here. Like, this is the professional ranks. And I think Joe Flacco, I don't know if there's a better teacher, maybe a Kirk Cousins, you know, something like that. But I don't know if there's a better teacher than a Super Bowl MVP like Joe Flacco.
And I really look at the weather, you know, for cities in the NFL and for teams, because if you're the Steelers, if you're the Ravens, you know, if you're the New York Giants, if you're an outdoor team up in the Northeast, the Buffalo Bills, you have to build your team, the New England Patriots, a little bit differently than the Dallas Cowboys or the Los Angeles Rams, right? Yeah. And Joe Flacco succeeded in Baltimore. He's that cold weather quarterback that can come into Cleveland and actually offer some education. And I know Shedeur played in Colorado. They're up in the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Yeah.
But cold in the NFL in, you know, like October, November, December in Buffalo, New York, as opposed to, you know,
in Baltimore.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah. In Baltimore, as opposed to the Colorado Rockies in October, November, it's a lot different.
Yeah.
And I think that Flacco can really help not just Shedeur, but Dylan Gabriel with that. He has no experience in cold weather, but I'm
telling you. Dylan Gabriel is from Hawaii.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
I'm definitely not cold there.
I'm telling you all, though, Duck fans, beware. I'm a huge Duck fan. I love this. I love that Gabriel got an opportunity, but left-handed quarterbacks in the NFL just do not succeed as often, and I'm just not sure that we're going to see him getting the opportunity that, say, like a Shedeur Sanders is.
There it is. So I'm pulling for Shedeur. I'm also pulling for Dylan Gabriel. It's one of those things. I want both of these young men to succeed, but there can only be one, and we'll see what that looks like for them. So,
And by the way, before anybody texts and says, well, yeah, Schultz, Steve Young, Michael Vick, they were lefties. I know. I think Tua's a lefty too, right?
Tua's lefty too.
So Tua is one out of 32 quarterbacks that's a left-hander?
Something like that.
That is my point, right?
Something
I think old Boomer Esiason was a left-hander too. So pick the handful of guys that have been left-handed over the 30, 40 years in the league that we're talking about here.
And I think
it doesn't happen very often.
And it doesn't. And I think the hope is that you do turn into Steve Young.
Exactly.
That if you are mobile, you can be Michael Vick. You know, and Steve Young was also incredibly mobile. And so I think being a left-handed quarterback, if you are not able to move like that, I think that's going to be a huge kind of challenge for you as you get ready to move forward. So, do you want to go back to basketball, I guess?
Yeah, there's just so much, man. We can go back to basketball. There's, you know, slip in some Mariners talk at the end of the hour before we go, too.
Ooh, like, that's
cool. They have won 8 straight series in a row now. They are in first place and have the 3rd best run differential in all the American League.
Well, I'm with it. It's early in the season, so yeah, we can definitely talk about
that. I need to celebrate
Let's do it. We can definitely celebrate that. So, but first, we got a couple game ones, got a game 7, got a game 1 tonight, got a couple big games tomorrow, a couple game 1s that should be a lot of fun to watch. We'll talk about those and kind of maybe pick some winners. We'll do that next, right here, Sports Sunday on The Fan. I'm a huge hip-hop guy and a huge R&B and
ditto.
All that stuff. Like,
not as big as you.
As far as, like, a long trip, let's say we're going to a Mariners game, right? We're just going to take a 3-hour ride to Seattle. Like, I can do alternative 90s, you know, all day. Like, we can do that. We can find a million different songs from, like, the Spin Doctors that just play to NSYNC. Or, you know, whatever. You played some Smash Mouth here a little bit ago. Like, it all goes. You know, it's one of those things. Music is so much fun, and there's so much of it, and there's so many different types that sound good. Like, so it's just, sometimes I'm on my gospel kick to where I just listen to, like, gospel music that I grew up listening to and stuff that. It's just one of those things. It just feels good, sounds
I'll
good.
I'll be
so.
Your bridge, your troubled water.
Well, listen to this guy over here.
I can sing some gospel. Yeah. I can get in it.
It's one of them things, man. So I'm a big, big music fan. So I don't care what it is. If it's a good song, like, I used to go to Oaks Park all the time, and Two Princes would come on.
Yep.
And that was one of my favorite songs in the world. Me and my godbrothers, who are no longer with us, you know, at this point, man, we used to love that record and sing it late night and stuff like that. So, yeah. So, shout out to the Spin Doctors and that one song. Do you know any other song besides Two Princes?
Did they have another song?
I don't know.
Sure, they had an album or two, but you know what? Being a one-hit wonder ain't a bad thing.
It's not the worst.
My
only thing about being a one-hit wonder is, like, what do you do when you have a concert? Because we don't know that song. We don't know all these other songs. What is this one? What track is this? And then they play Two Princes, and you're like, oh, okay, here we go.
Well, first of all, you don't hear Two Princes until the end. That's their closing song.
I think you got to play it like, I think you have to play it like five times.
What's the, who's the band that sings, It Just Takes Some Time, that band opened for Fall Out Boy, and it's funny that I can't remember the name of the band.
Sum 41, that wasn't Sum 41, was it?
No. But they, that one song is like their hit, right?
Yeah.
And they waited until the very end to play it. So,
so the whole time you're like, who is this?
You know,
an
hour, people are just kind of humming these songs. Like, I don't really know what's going on. So you basically, the answer to your question, Rashad, is you kind of sit there through an hour, hour and a half set, awkwardly play through songs that you love that nobody else actually is listening to until you get to that one.
I think you have to play like a greatest hits or something like that. Maybe not yours.
But
maybe songs that people obviously know.
A couple of Queen songs in there.
Yeah, throw a Queen song in there. Maybe throw my least favorite song of all time, Sweet Caroline. You know, throw that in there. You know, just do some stuff that people know, and then get to your Two Princes after you play like four or five, you know, records. Because I hate going to a concert and be like, what song is this? And I don't know this song. And then they hit you with the one you do know. It's like, oh, is that who this band is? Gotcha. Gotcha.
I remember now.
Yeah,
it's like,
I get it.
It's like seeing like a character actor. You're that guy in that thing. Yes, I know you.
I know you. You know, so
funny.
I can remember, I was just telling my buddy the other day, because I went to go get my haircut, and he was wearing a No Doubt shirt.
Oh,
and I was
my
like,
God.
I was like, you don't know nothing about this band. And he was like, please. And I was like, name one song. And he named like four. And I was like, oh, crap, maybe you do.
All right.
I remember I went to No Doubt's concert in eighth grade. Super cool. Listen to, you know, Don't Speak, which was still to this day, every time I hear that song, I get goosebumps.
Yep.
That's an amazing record.
I mean, Gwen Stefani's amazing. She's actually a really good singer. Can we talk about her voice and how, I mean, she's hot and great, just one of the most talented female artists out there.
Gwen Stefani was super fresh. She was I knew a lot of dudes that had a crush on her. I never saw it like that, but she was always uber, uber talented and stuff. And then when she made the Holla Back song, it's like, oh, I didn't want that to be a cut. I'll be honest. I was really kind of hating at first. And then I was, man, a few times been around that track. It's like, man, that's a cut, low key. Like, if you don't start dancing to that, moving your shoulders when that comes on, you know, This is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. It's like, oh, man, this song goes super, super hard, man. So, shout out to 90s alternative music.
Yeah,
it's always
going to
be good.
We could spend the rest of the hour talking about it.
We could. I don't want to piss people off like that, because there are a couple of big games today with a lot of implications. One of them is a game 7, which is, you know, the greatest two words in sports, game 7, besides Blazers win. You know, I think, you know, game 7 is an awesome, awesome experience for a lot of people. I was super excited.
Not for him.
I was at dinner watching James Harden completely S the bed last night. However, I will be at home to watch the Rockets versus the Warriors. Stephen Curry needs help. We thought it would be Buddy Hield. At times it's Jimmy Buckets, but I think he's still kind of dealing with that tailbone thing, which kind of makes it harder for him to play defense and really stay in front of his guy, trying to defend some of these Rockets defenders, these young Rockets defenders. And I think the Rockets know that, and they're trying to be incredibly physical with Jimmy Butler right now. And so he's getting bumped a little harder, you know, getting nudged around a little bit more. The Warriors need to have a vintage Warriors game today. Steph Curry needs to have 25 to 30 points. Jimmy Buckets needs to chip in with 22, 23 points and a lot of defensive stops. But the most important person to me for this Warriors team right now is it Przemski? Am I saying his name right? I think I often get it wrong. But he's the rookie guard. Przemski. I always say this man's name wrong. Forgive me for that. But man, this kid knows how to light it up. Every single time he finds his opportunity, he's almost kind of like what Aaron Gordon has been for this Denver's team. It's like he just shows up every single time that they need a big bucket for this team. So I think the other guys, as Shaq likes to call them, the others,
because he don't know who they are.
Because he don't know who they are, and it's cool. Because you know, sometimes you don't know who
the okay.
people are either.
He gets paid $15 million a year, though. So
yeah, he's got like a list of things. He's got notes from people that tell him.
Him and Chuck names. Both have it easy, and they still can't do their jobs. Albeit they're funny, I get it. But God, way overpaid.
Yeah, Brandon Przemski. Yes, that's who I'm talking about. He makes big shots for them. You know, quite often. He's one of those guys, I think one of those other guys that really has to kind of step in and be great for this team as they move forward. It's funny because it looks like they've completely moved away from Jonathan Kuminga. He didn't even play in the last game. Like, he's mentally, Kuminga is not there no more. I don't know what happened because he was somebody that was projected to be the next member of the big three for the Warriors. And for whatever reason, the wheels have completely fallen off with Jonathan Kuminga and Steve Kerr.
They needed Jimmy
Butler. Oh, yeah, for sure.
They needed him to take Kuminga's shots, essentially.
For sure. Jimmy Butler had a great game the other day. 27 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. Almost, you know, flirted with the triple-double. They just couldn't get it done. This Rockets team just keeps coming. And I'll be honest, I hate Dylan Brooks. Oh, there's not a player in the NBA that I dislike more than Dylan Brooks. Like, we think Draymond is bad. Like, Dylan Brooks is trash. I'm going to go ahead and say that. Like, just as a fan, that man is trash. I understand he's a Duck. People respect him, but he was a dirty player as a Duck. Let's just be real. And now he's a dirty player in the NBA that just does nothing but get under your skin. That's his whole thing. And it's not like a Rodman get under your skin where I'm going to make you angry, but I'm also going to have 19 rebounds and 4 points as I do it. No, it's just crazy stuff for no reason. Step on the back of your heels. You're walking up the court just to, like, he wants to get socked in the face. That's Dylan Brooks' whole thing. But it's effective for this Rockets team. Jalen Green was plus 20 the other day and had 12 points. That's insane. He hasn't had a great game in these playoffs yet. Yet here they are, one game away from moving on to the second round and eliminating Stephen Curry. I think the Rockets can do this tonight. They've shown that they can play well at Oracle, or what's their arena called now? Is it Oracle?
I think so. I think it's still Oracle.
Yeah, they've shown they can play well and win there. They've shown they can play great defense. You got guys like Amen Thompson, who is a great 3-and-D guy. He's going to, you know, get to the cup whenever he wants
Rockets
to.
Rockets are home, by the way.
The Rockets are home. Okay, forgive me.
Yeah, you know, so they're back in Houston.
They're back in Houston. So is it Toyota Center?
I think it's the Toyota Center in Houston.
Yeah. So they're back in Houston now.
It's been that way since Yao was there. It's been a while. Yeah, they haven't renamed that one in a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time, man. So they have their opportunity to really write their own story. You know, Ime Udoka, in my opinion, is the coach of the year. He is the best coach in the NBA. You look at what he did for Boston. He made them a championship team. That is Ime Udoka's championship. I don't care about anything else. That is that man's championship that they have in Boston. But he has an opportunity to really make his own history in Houston, where he once played. And so I'm pulling for Ime, obviously, for obvious reasons. He's a Portland guy. He went to Jefferson High School. He went to Portland State. Yes, I want all the best things for Ime Udoka right now. And so shout out to him and shout out to this Rockets team, this really young Rockets team, because this Rocket squad, I think, is the blueprint for the Blazers. This is what we are trying to accomplish here in Portland, is what Houston is doing right now. A young roster who played themselves up, plays great defense. They play together. This is what you want. A young point guard, a young big. That's the trajectory you want to be on. We'll see if the Blazers can do it. But, yes, this game starts at 5:30.
probably closer to like 5:45. But it's listed as a 5:30 start.
So this is an important game. So make sure you get there for that. Let me see. Which channel is this on?
TNT.
TNT, 5:30. So.
And X Factor Steven Adams, I think, is going to be the difference tonight. He scored like 16 off the bench for the Rockets the other night.
I think it was a big part of that game six win.
Like, yeah, I get it. OKC just doesn't really have a spot for him anymore the way that their offense plays with Chet Holmgren. But dang, like, you still wish that they never would have given up on Steven Adams, because, yeah, like, Hartenstein's all right, but come
on. Hartenstein's great.
But, like, I've always been a Steven Adams guy, and he just showed last night why he still is one of the better centers in the league.
Strongest dude.
Even off the bench.
Strongest dude in the league is Steven Adams. He's got that incredible Hulk type strength, and every team could use a veteran like Steven Adams. So tonight, 5:30, Warriors, Rockets, game 7. We'll see who wins and moves on to the second round. So we got one more game coming up today, and we'll get to that. But first, Jordan has sports.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Newer stuff is okay. I like how some of the newer stuff kind of weaves in the old stuff. Like, I don't know if you've seen Andor on Disney Plus.
Okay. Let me take that back. The TV shows are great. Mandalorian
was awesome.
Andor, the whole Baby Yoda craze. Like, I'm here for all of that. But episodes 7 and 8, kind of iffy. Episode 9, I still haven't seen the end because I have tried to watch it twice and I have fallen asleep, Rashad, both freaking times.
Yeah, episode 9 wasn't awesome. Like,
remember Luke Skywalker's warning? Mark Hamill literally told fans, like, it's don't maybe temper your expectations a little bit. Don't expect what you were hoping for.
Yeah, I don't know what we were expecting. I want to go see it because it's Star Wars, of course.
Of course.
But that's the one that I've probably seen the least. Definitely seen the least is episode 9. Like, I didn't really care. Kylo Ren should have been the...
I hate Kylo Ren.
I thought he was awesome, but that's just me.
Dude, Adam Driver, I didn't like him in Girls. Like, when he came out on that Lena Dunham show.
He was awesome in Girls. He was the only good part of that show.
No, none of that show was good.
That show was terrible. That's what I'm saying.
He was just an emotional neighbor boyfriend, whatever he was. Like, then he got famous.
I forget. He has a movie with Jason Bateman and... I forget her name, but either way, it's a pretty good. I think so. This Is Where I Leave You is what it's called. It's a really good movie. So Adam Driver is a great actor. I loved him as Kylo Ren. Agree to disagree type thing.
Yeah, that's okay.
Today, speaking of agreeing to disagree, is two teams that really don't care for each other a whole lot. There's a lot of playoff beef going back to when LeBron and Danny Granger were button heads, and Roy Hibbert, and stuff like that. So today, 3:00 on TNT or Max or True TV or whatever it is you have, the Indiana Pacers visit the number one seed in the East, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Donovan Mitchell, this Cleveland Cavaliers team is ready for a finals run. They might be the best team in the Eastern Conference. I still think it's the Celtics. The Pistons were all right. I think Cade Cunningham has put himself on the map as that guy. First year we saw Anthony Edwards in the playoffs and everybody fell in love with him. It's like, I love this guy.
And then after Cade is him. He is him.
Cade is that dude. And so I think, and he don't say a lot. He don't have 15 different baby moms that he's not paying child support for.
Like, Anthony Edwards is an ass.
He kind of is, and that's one of the reasons I'm kind of off Anthony Edwards. And so Cade might be an ass too. But
Cade's actually a good person.
For now, that's what we don't know that, right? So we'll give it time because You usually the hero lives long enough to become the villain. We'll see until when Cade starts winning too much how we turn on him. But this Cleveland team has got everything you need. They've got great coaching. They've got a deep bench. Ty Jerome, my God, he call him the Blazer Killer because he just tore us apart every single time he got the opportunity. But again, kind of like Brown from the Nuggets. He's always there. Like, he always there for them to get a big bucket, a big lay-in, a huge steal, something like that. Like, he's one of those guys, one of those glue guys that you have on your team. And then you throw in Jared Allen, quietly the best rim defender in the league and really probably has been for quite a while, But we don't talk about Jared Allen a whole lot, but he's averaging 10.5 rebounds in the season and 14 points. great numbers. He's averaging two at how many blocks? Shoot, let me see. Jared Allen averages, well, not a lot, but not as many as I would think. But still, we know he can change shots at the rim, and he can finish at the rim. He can catch that lob that you know is coming once Donovan Mitchell's driving to the rim and then throws it up. But I don't think this Indiana team is going to let them just walk over them. That's the one thing they're not. Say whatever you want to about Tyrese Halliburton and his dad and his voice or whatever the case is. That boy can play. Tyrese Halliburton is a 6'5" point guard that can get to the rim whenever he wants, that can pass the ball, that can shoot the three, and he can play defense. Tyrese Halliburton is one of the more underrated players in the league because I think there's still a lot of people that don't believe that he's as good as advertised.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at this game. I'm looking at these matchups, and I think they match up really well as far as like what they can offer. I think the matchup between bigs, between Miles Turner and Jared Allen and Evan Mobley is going to be a great matchup today. Obviously, Halliburton versus Donovan Mitchell is going to be a huge, huge matchup. But I think it's going to come down to coaching. You know, I think you got two coaches that are, I don't want to call them innovative, but they're willing to make changes on the fly, and they're willing to throw. We've been seeing, like, the Lakers, their detriment was they only went 5-6 deep. When you got an old team that doesn't really shoot a lot of, like, you can't go 5 or 6 deep. Both of these teams go 8 or 9 guys in there. TJ McConnell comes in the game, that's a change of pace from Tyrese Halliburton. You know, Evan Mobley really starts taking over offensively, like Donovan Mitchell can kind of more so be a defender and kind of facilitator and things like that, man. I think these teams match up really well. I think game one goes to Cleveland, but I think it's going to end in 6.
I don't think any Cleveland's probably not going to lose on their home court. I don't think there's any chance that Indiana gets a win in Cleveland. I just think without Darius Garland, they absolutely rolled against the Heat. Like, he didn't play in that game. So, yeah, game time decision tonight. They could have the great white hope at guard again in Max Strus and Sam Merrill tonight. Like, they literally beat up on the Miami Heat by 50 with two white guys starting at guard. All right. That's saying something.
Shout out to white guys, man.
Shout out to the short white guys, man. That's what I always wanted to be in the NBA when I was a kid. But good for Merrill, good for Strus. Obviously, they can shoot threes, but having to lean on them for significant minutes, I mean, you kind of saw they didn't really have to play much. I think in that game 4, no starter played more than like 23, 25 minutes, and that was Donovan Mitchell, of course. But I say you look more at the ancillary pieces when it comes to games like this. You talk about the matchup between Mobley and Allen, and then you talk about, like, Pascal Siakam for the Indiana Pacers. It's just like, okay.
Champion Pascal Siakam.
Exactly. And yeah, you talk about the pedigree from Toronto that he brought. It's why he's there. It's why Kawhi Leonard is in Los Angeles. They have that experience, but just overall, Cleveland is too good. They're too damn good, and I don't think you even mentioned DeAndre Hunter coming off the bench.
No,
still
he's huge.
Really good.
Coming
and
from Atlanta, that was one of the biggest pickups of the year, is getting DeAndre Hunter from Atlanta. For
I think they just have more of those ancillary pieces than Indiana does.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, they have more of those pieces, but I think where Indiana is great is they, you know, they do it by committee. You know, like if somebody is not there for the night, like they can pick up the slack in other ways. Like we've seen the Nembhards all of a sudden, you know, come out and play really, really well. And we've seen Miles Turner have those games. And we've seen Obi Toppin, you know, be able to kind of really give you some significant
minutes. Like Obi Toppin.
Yeah, he's a good young player. You know, we've seen, like, Benedict Mathurin when he's not getting choked out by Giannis or grabbed up by Giannis. We've seen him have a pretty important role for this team. And so that's the kind of thing I like about him. Like, it might not be Tyrese Halliburton that beats you with scoring. It might not be him. It might be Andrew Nembhard, who comes through and has an amazing game from the perimeter. Like, it might be one of those other guys. TJ McConnell, we've seen him have some amazing games in the playoffs and really lead his team to some big wins. And so that's what I'm looking at for this Indiana team. Are they as deep as Cleveland? Maybe not, but not by much. Not by much. I don't think that. So that game starts today, 3:00 on TNT. I will be there. I'll be watching that. Is it 3 Eastern time, or is that like?
No, that they always fixed that a long time ago. They list it in your time zone on ESPN.
That's so good. I lost some shoes doing that one time. So.
As a kid, yeah, I remember they, in fact, when I started in the business, they still listed like ET on ESPN. So yeah. You just had to do the math in your head.
Yeah, I'm not good at math, but my math is great and says that the Cavaliers have pretty much had their way with most teams in the Eastern Conference thus far. I do think they're going to win this series. I don't think Indiana's going to make it easy for them. So the math for me is 4-2 Cavaliers over the Pacers.
I don't think I have anything different to say than that as far as a prediction goes. Like I said, I just don't think Cleveland's going to lose on their home court. And, yeah, 6 would be the one to wrap it up then that way, right? Yeah,
well, hopefully Indiana surprises us and they push to 7. I think that's what we all want to see is a great series that goes 7 games.
Oh, wait, if I'm saying that Cleveland's not going to lose on their home court, I'm saying they'll wrap it up in 5. No, I say, they'll wrap it up in 5, right?
Think so?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
I think Cleveland's going to get it.
There we go. Cleveland in 5. I'm saying Cleveland in 6. Time will tell. Game 1 starts today at 3 o'clock. We'll have a lot more of a better idea of what's happening after that. So what do you say we tie a bow on this joint and let's talk some Mariners?
Yeah,
absolutely. So
give them their roses.
Apparently, the Mariners are doing really, really well right now. It is May, but we're going to say the Mariners are doing good. We're going to tell you just how good they're doing when we come back right here on Sports Sunday on The Fan. If you're Jordan, I understand the excitement right now. A lot of great things are happening if you're the Mariners. Still some room for improvement, obviously. You know, there's still an opportunity to get better. But for now, you're 20-12. You're in first place in the AL West, right? Like, you're exactly where you want to be. You got a guy in Cal Raleigh who's first in the league in home runs.
My God.
Right?
You got home runs over the weekend. Good Lord.
You know, you got a guy in J.P. Crawford who has a pretty good batting average right now. He's top 30, you know, the top 50 right now, which doesn't sound like a lot in baseball, but...
Oh, that's a lot.
That's a lot. You know, right now, I think he's hovering right around 30,
he's like 290.
31.
Yeah,
287.
287.
So, yeah, so right there. Brian Wu, so far, is having a great season. 4 wins, only 1 loss, and then 2.58 ERA.
He's been the ace so far.
So things are moving in the right direction. My whole thing, I just want them to sustain it. So if we can get to this point and it's July and August and they're still playing this well, man, I don't have anything bad to say. But we've seen the Mariners have great starts to their season, right? Multiple great starts to their season. And for whatever reason, it just doesn't end the way we want it to,
Right.
But right now I think they're playing some amazing baseball. Jordan, you're obviously a much bigger fan as you are constantly in all Mariners garb.
Yeah, pretty like much every day in here.
Tell me, where do the Mariners go from here, my guy?
I mean, you hope that they can sustain the success, right? But I think one of the ways that they have been doing just so much better this year as compared to last year is actually hitting in the situations where they need to hit. Runners in scoring position in the last week has just transformed. Even in their wins earlier in the season, they were kind of still going like, 3 for 12, 4 for 13, just under 300. And good teams, they hit 3 to 500 with runners in scoring position. That's just, you clutch up. That's what you do. That's what you see the guys like the Dodgers doing, usually when they're winning the World Series. And then the New York Yankees, who are the best team in the American League right now, you clutch up. Guys get on second base, you hit them in. The Mariners, early in the season, were able to get a lot of guys on base, didn't necessarily hit them in a lot of the time. And frankly, there were probably 3 or 4 wins. I know the Mariners are in first place now, but they're probably 3 or 4 wins that they gave up even earlier in that first week or two in that series against San Francisco, in that series against the Athletics, because they just couldn't hit guys home. But thankfully, you see the comfort at the plate. I don't know if it's the Edgar Martinez effect. You look back to August of last season, and they do have one of the best offenses in baseball.
For sure.
Top 5 in average, top 5 in on-base percentage, top 5 in slugging. They get on base at not just with hits, but with walks. They're able to situationally hit, which is something they weren't doing last year.
And I mentioned Cal Raleigh, but, you know, it's Jorge Blanco, and you're also looking at Dylan Moore and guys that are really – able to deliver for you. And these guys are within the top. Well, I think Jorge is top 10.
Oh, Jorge, yeah, he doesn't qualify technically, but if he did, he'd be like the I think, the second best average in the American League right now behind Aaron Judge.
And so you
hitting
got
almost 400.
So right now you got the bats that are doing it. And I think the biggest thing is, can you maintain this moving forward for, and it doesn't have to be like this. We can almost guarantee that they won't hit as well as we get into.
I actually disagree with you just
really?
Because, well, so I'm not sure if you know this, but Dylan Moore on the injured list right now. Luke Raley just went on the injured list. They lost Ryan Bliss, their starting second baseman, to open the year because of a torn bicep. So they've literally gotten three position players taken away from them, two starting pitchers in George Kirby, who didn't even start the season with the team, and Logan Gilbert, who just went out last week, but able to pull some rabbits out of the hat, magically still kind of shuffle those guys up and down from the bullpen. And I don't know if you saw the start by Logan Evans, his debut filling in for Logan Gilbert last Sunday. He looked like a true major league pitcher already at the age of 23, coming in to replace a starter that was depended on, like Brian Wu came in for his first career start a couple years ago, just like George Kirby came up into the league. It's like that pitching lab for the Mariners still has them able to compete. And that was one of the things, Rashad, that I was concerned about going into this year, because the hitting hasn't been as good. The Mariners pitching staff has essentially been shouldering the load since they got back to the playoffs in 2022. And after three seasons, you would expect to see some cracks in the shield. You expect to see some injuries, but even still through that, even with the injuries, both on the hitting and pitching side of things, they're winning. So, like, Dylan Moore comes back. I'd even mention Victor Robles went down with that dislocated shoulder in that series against San Francisco. The Mariners are playing with, like, 6 out of 9 healthy guys in their lineup right now.
Yeah, and yet and still.
Yeah.
Yet and still, they're 8-10, or 8 out of the last 10. And
6 in a row, man.
Yeah, and with 6 in a row. And I want to say, is it, like, 12 of their last 15?
Yeah,
like,
actually 14 of their last 16 now.
Yeah, 14 of the last 16. So
or 17,
so they're rolling right now. And right now is a great time for you to get to Seattle and go watch this team compete. They've won. They're going to try to make it a clean sweep against the Rangers today. I think that first pitch is at 11:35.
11:35. And let me just throw this in there really quick, Rashad. Their playoff odds at this point, you're right, it's just a month into the season, but their playoff odds are at 96.4%, according to FanGraphs.
Can you feel the fever?
I feel the fever.
Can you feel the fever? And if the Mariners make the playoffs,
95 out of 100 on the test is pretty good.
I'm there. If the Mariners make the playoffs, I'm paying for that ticket. And I will be in the building like that. That's something that we absolutely have to see happen. I don't think the Blazers are going to be winning a championship anytime soon.
No, I think the Mariners or the Ducks, that's our best chance.
I think the Mariners, I think it'd definitely be the Ducks that would be able to get there first.
Yeah.
I think the Mariners are second. And after we get Cooper Flagg, the Blazers will be third.
Man, it is just so, that'd be nice. But let me just say, as a Mariners fan, it's so fun to actually just sit back and watch them hit. Because a lot of these wins last year, they gave up that 10-game lead. I think June was when it kind of started to fall off for the Mariners, because they were winning with chaos ball. They weren't actually winning in a sustainable way. It was, runner misses first base, and we're going to win because their team committed 3 errors. Or, a pass ball, and we get in on like a strikeout and a pass ball scoring a run. There was never like a real hit or something solid. They had almost no sacrifice flies
and baseball,
earlier in the season. Just small ball wasn't happening. But they're hitting home runs, and they're playing small ball super well right now.
And baseball is one of those sports to where I think the reason things fall apart quickly is because they play so many games.
Yeah.
Guys get dinged up. I don't know how many double headers guys play anymore. Even that's still a thing. But baseball was
just
the one sport.
Just on rainouts.
Yeah, but baseball was the one sport that would give you 2 games in a day. Like, that's insane, and that's a lot to put your body through, you know? And so I think that's really the reason why, once we get to, like, July and August, you see the kind of the slide, just because, like, it's tough to stay in shape all that time. It's tough to, you know, kind of deal with those nagging injuries and pulls and things like that. Swinging the baseball bat that hard, that's torque on your back. That's your arms. Like, throwing a baseball that hard, that kills your shoulder.
A lot of Mariners dealing with oblique injuries, actually.
You know,
it's one
of those things. Like, you hit that. Remember Tiger's biggest thing was his back, because he was swinging that damn golf club so incredibly hard. Like, right? Like, you didn't see a whole lot of golfers with back issues, but you saw Tiger with them because he went so incredibly hard.
Yeah.
When you're swinging the best, especially right now, if you're swinging as well as the Mariners are, you're probably going to have some soreness by the time we get to June and July. And so that's usually where things kind of start falling apart. So hopefully wishing for health for the Mariners, wishing for consistency, because I think that's going to be, especially from your pitching, that's another space that we don't talk enough about, as far as the Mariners could be great if they can just keep consistent pitching.
Yep.
And that hasn't really been the case. Remember, we were super excited about King Felix for a long time. And, you know, I think it's been a long time since there's been that level of excitement around.
No, the last pitching. 3 years, the young pitching staff, that's the one thing that they've been doing right.
No, it's getting better. But if it can stay consistent throughout the year,
especially
once you get to September and October,
yeah,
that's really where things, we've seen the Yankees fall apart because they have ass pitching.
Well, the Mariners just got Matt Brash back from injury, the kid that was down with Tommy John surgery since I think the last time he appeared in a game was September of 2023. Mm-hmm. He's one of your leverage bullpen pieces. Their closer, Andres Munoz, 12 for 12 in save opportunities, 15 strikeouts, has not given up a single run so far all season. So the pitching, definitely one of those strong stalwarts that the Mariners are continuing to lean on.
So lots of reasons to be excited about this Mariner squad and excited about their progression, excited about these young pitchers, excited about the bats that are getting swung right now. There's a lot of positivity coming out of Seattle, and I want to be a part of it. So I'm going to make sure I get to some games. They got some pretty good food at that, you know,
they
in
do.
The stadium too.
A lot of good pizza now. They got calzones. Yeah. They've got like this local, like, new pizza place that everybody's going crazy about up there at the stadium now.
Yeah, come on, Portland, catch up, man.
No, like, you have to, apparently, up, you have to go, like, to go to this pizza place, you have to wait in line for an hour, but in the stadium, you can actually get it a lot quicker. So, like, don't go to the actual location in town.
Stadium.
Yeah, just go to a game at T-Mobile Park.
Buy a ticket and go to the stadium. Guaranteed, you'll love it.
And watch J.P. Crawford extend his hitting streak to 12 games.
There's nothing like great baseball in the spring and summer, man. So go out there and check out your Mariners and see what's going on. So, man, Jordan, I appreciate you, my guy. It was always fun, man.
Absolutely.
Love you, man. So love you more, man. So shout out to my guy, Joe. Hopefully he's feeling a little better with the runs, and he should be back on air for his baseball show, and then he'll be back here for this sports show next week, and we'll do it all again. So I hope you guys enjoy this weather. Enjoy Cinco de Mayo. Celebrate your boy and his birthday. They throw me a big party downtown every year, so maybe I'll see you down there today. Again, Jordan, I appreciate you, my guy.
Yeah, man, appreciate you. Appreciate everybody out there. And happy birthday once again, Rashad.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that so much. And thank all of you for everything. Love you guys, man. And we will see y'all next week right here, Sports Sunday. I'm going to holler at y'all. Peace.